So I suppose it's working, isn't it? Can you hear me all? I'm really sorry the color were off because the print is a beautiful print, but I think it's a Xenon print and the projector tungsten or vice versa. So everything was yellow and for me it was horrible because I love my film and I love to look at the color, and they are much better in 16 millimeter than in digital. I have a digital print which was made in 2011, which is really very good. And that print was also made as a film print in 2011 and sent to Germany. And so there's not too much scratch and all those things. But, you know, the color, if you have never seen them, maybe it's okay. But, you know, the Salt Lake is white, you know, it's not yellow. The snow is white, you know, the whatever. So.
But bad.
The composition is not changed.
And let us just take this opportunity to welcome Lucy Reynolds, who's joining us for this discussion. Mm-hmm. And Lucy, is you're at Central St. Martin's?
No, University of Westminster.
Yes, you are.
Goldsmith?
I don't know why they think they need me, but I'm here perhaps because I've got a few questions and also to help. Sure, and, you've got many questions too.
And anyway, also because of Lucy's really important work on women and film and the history of women and avant-garde filmmaking. So very nice to have you here. So will you start off?
Well, if you're happy, just before, I'm sure some people have some questions, but I just wanted to ask, and this is something we talked a little bit about earlier, about... Well, you ended with, have I really seen?
Believe it or
I mean, in terms of the way that you were using sound to ask those questions, and also about the framing of the image, because you end with an attribution to Barbara Novak, and perhaps you could tell us a little bit about her importance and how that, in a way, mm-hmm. helped you to... navigate how you're going to do it.
Basically, what I got from the book of Barbara Novak, which is a book on the Hudson River School painting, which is a tradition, the first American tradition of painting, contemporary with German landscape painting of between 1820 and 1860 or 70, if you want. And I absolutely adore landscape painting, but I adore painting from literally the Greek to the Roman to today, basically. So it's not because of landscape painting I decided to do the movie. It's essentially because of the light. And originally, when I did my first venture in the West, I had very little money, so I slept in buses, and I took buses to actually sleep. So I was in Montana in the morning, and I was looking at what I could see walking or taking another bus to go 100 miles in Montana, which is huge. And I was taking a bus going from Montana to Butte and going back to past Denver and in Arizona. So I waked up in Arizona, and the land is red there, and it's a very different color of the sky. And I say, that's it. I have a film. There's different color in the sky from north and south and east and west. And if I stay, in a place which is the area which is where people drive without stopping except to take gas, you know, I have a subject because it's about desert and loneliness, which is totally the subject for somebody who lived in New York in the 70s and actually wandered out because vegan was coming in, you know. And it's by starting to shoot the movie that a new vegan will win. And what you have seen still exists, but it's even more in
peril?
In peril, yeah. Thank you for the word, in peril.
But there were,
and it's going to be even more with the current president. I don't even have to mention.
Before we even touch on him,
Oh my God, we should not.
But there are other reasons you were saying to Laura and I as well, further back, about the idea, the European imagination for the West.
Yeah, but that's not so important. Basically, the film is also made not just to. Discover something I did not know. It's actually to understand what is the concept, which I first discovered by reading Jean Muir, which I read in French translation, I think. And as soon as I could read in English, which is 74, 75, I read Jean Muir in English. But I read him first in French, and he's somebody who actually wrote between the 1880 to the 18, and he's quoted in my text, actually, is the one who actually built the momentum beyond the public park and behind the idea of conservation and the idea of renewal. It's a little bit a post-Thoreau American sensibility of going to the land, not as an agrarian, not in a farmland, but actually in a place which is just a terrain where you can walk, if you want. The idea of promenade en français. And or randonnée, I think it's the term they use in French. My brother, for instance, does randonnée. Most of my friends in France, family or friend from a very long time ago, from the 60s, do randonnée. They go for a week and walk with backpack, you know, for exercise, for to be in the middle of the Pyrenees or whatever, you know. But what do they have? They have a village every 10 miles, you know. They speak of kilometers, so it's not very much change from one village to the other. But over there, if you have to walk, you literally take several months, you know. So the idea of wilderness is really also the idea that there's no road. And I wanted to tap that sense by exposing myself to, in the film, to never tell you where I am, but there's no ability for you to really do a route of what I did because I simulate this idea of moving back and forth northwest. Is, you know, it's not a logical trip to the landscape. It's actually
So you're not following a journey from one end to the other?
No, I go back and forth between different type of landscape because what I'm interested in the structure of the landscape and the structure of the color in relation with the land formation, if you want. So it's topology and it's also color.
Would you say a little bit about the use of those different voices, because that's something that you'd already started to explore in There Where, isn't it?
Yeah. I when I started to think of doing that film on landscape, which I worked on for many years working on other films, finishing Camarge and doing Cold Eye, which is the film I did after Camarge, before the in terms of feature, before Sky and Location, I thought then I didn't want to have just one voice because, you know, in documentary, that was a documentary basically, although it's a personal organization, the documentary is just factual. It's what you see, okay? But if you have only one voice, it's automatically the one of the person who see, and there's only one person seeing. And what I was interested in to have multiple point of view because I feel there's no culture which does not have multiple point of view. And I wanted to tap American culture, which the big difference with European culture, not so difference between the British and the French, which have many war between them, and you know, but the same for the German. But still, there's so much common trait because we have the same kind of farmland. We do both good cheese, you know. The German not as good as you and us, but you see what I mean. We have a contact with the land, which is essentially the one of my grandmother, you know. The land had been tilled and used for like 2,000 years, you know. Nothing has not been used anywhere here. What I mean here in Europe and in the country I come from, in France. And therefore, I felt that's not the case there. So the even the concept of nature that we have here is not the same over there. Because over there, really, nature is savage, you know. You have tornadoes, you have earthquake, you have, I mean, constantly days, you have flood. You have suddenly house collapsing because it rained too much and it was too dry before, so the foundation, you know, there's mud hole, you know, and cars swallowed by mud and so on. There's not every day, but more and more, especially in the place where they do fracking, because there's much more earthquake in Oklahoma, for instance. So now in the last 5-6 years. So there is this sense of of excess in the weather in the US. I did not want to deal with excess because I did not have it. I did not have flood. I mean, I went twice to shoot the spring, and I had no flood, and I was so fucking, you know, pissed because there was no, there'd be no water that winter. It was a drought, so I did not have my usual spring, you know, and I could not reshoot and so on. So, but therefore, I did not change anything to the facts. You know, when I was shooting, I collected local newspaper to know then I was there in one place and I took notes and I had a journal. So I knew the facts and I could quote the facts. So I did not invent anything. And therefore, there is no drama because there was no drama. Except the most drama is really the extreme change of temperature and the fog coming in the fall, which is my favorite season. Yeah,
and the aftermath of the Mount St. Helen.
Yes. That was amazing because it was totally forgotten, you know. Yeah. It was forgotten to go there with a car, with private car. So whatever I shot was actually illegal, if you want. I should not have been there, but I can always manage to get anywhere because, you know, I know the back road, basically. And I have good maps.
Well, we're just wondering if anyone had any questions at this stage.
We'll just have a brief discussion now, and we'll go on to the next film in a minute. But it's just an opportunity to, you
know. Thank you so much for two very, very beautiful films. There's sort of 1.5 questions. The first one is very brief, just based on the there where. And you mentioned about being lost in the Californian landscape and the Southern Californian landscape in particular. And I was wondering if you're familiar with the writings of Rebecca Solnit, which that's all she's writing about to a large degree. And the second one is, in the second film, what comes across really subtly, but I think quite forcefully, is probably your environmentalism. And I'm wondering if you go back now to the landscape, how much that has changed, because you're talking about the lake getting drained by Los Angeles, essentially. And I'm wondering, have you been back since then in the last 35 years and how it's changed since then?
Okay, so I'm so happy you know Rebecca Solnit, because I'm a total avid and I have only a book on my iPad. Because I travel, I read a lot, you know, on tablet. I cannot carry all my books. I had not read anything of her when I did the Scant Location, so I had read only Barbara Novak, but I read John Muir, and I'm an environmentalist since I think I was a kid, literally. But the first time I saw the desert and I understood how fragile it was, it's in 63. I went to Algeria and I saw the Sahara Desert with my uncle, who was a botanist and was a specialist of the African, North Africa plants, and therefore explained a lot to me about the land, the rock formation, the kind of plant you could find here and there. And I did not retain the detail, but the detail of what you see when you are with somebody, with a scientist, and you look at plant or whatever is there in a place which has no water and you cannot survive if you don't bring your water, is really astonishing. You have a sense then indeed you can damage, you know. For instance, in America, I had a four-wheel drive. I did a lot of driving out of the road, but I was well aware of the fact I could not do it anywhere because my tire will leave track, which will make then for like 50 years, no plant will ever go back there. No insect could ever cross it, like in Death Valley, you know, and go back there. So I did a lot of things by foot because of it, and I kept my car in places which were not too damaging and so on. So I'm definitely an environmentalist. Basically, here you will see a green party, somebody which is green, is that it? That did not, environmentalism is defined by John Muir at the end of the 19th century, you know? So that's the reason I read him in French first and read him in English afterwards, and I read him, I had his little collection of essays with me when I was shooting the movie, yeah. In term, what was your second question about going back? Yeah, obviously I went back because the most, I went back essentially because I wanted to show it to my nephew and my brother who had been in the summer with me, my brother, not my nephew, he was a baby at the time, but so I went back to show it to family, or I went back because I was interested. But it's difficult to know, you know. The only reason you know if something has changed is actually if you go to the same place. So there has been certain study of people which were very interesting to me, and I analyze, if you want, of people who got money to go back to the space where the original survey photograph of Carlton Watkins and Thomas Jackson, I think, where, because those pictures are famous, if you want. They were black and white, they were large format, they were very, very detailed, and they were contact print, which are in museums. So those print I observe and analyze before shooting. But somebody, I think, after I made my film, went back there in the 90s, went back there, find the exact same location to see if it had changed. And actually, bizarrely, some place have not changed. But, you know, landscape is mute. It does not reveal anything. What reveal is, if there is a snowpack, there will be water. And in the spring, there will be flower. If there's no snowpack, in the spring, it will be dry. And, you know, the animal will die because they have no water. So you don't know, you know. I have a friend now who is doing a film on the wolf reintroduction which was done in Yellowstone, and now it's done in New Mexico. So he goes to New Mexico to try to find, and he goes to always the same pond and so on, and he sees tracks. But it's very difficult to trace visually, especially with still photograph, any change. You really have to, go back to the same place maybe for 10 years and see change. Actually, the next film you're going to see, it's construction, so it's easier because it's man-made and it goes faster. But I had to wait a year and a half to be able to finish the film because I had to see construction started and finish. You see what I mean? And the change in usage of the land is of the same order. Does not change much. I know that because, you know, I spent my childhood spending a month or 2 months with my grandmother in the same farm. And I went there for the first time I was 9, and the last time I was 30, you know. Maybe not every year when I was already 30 years old. But, you know, there was enormous change in her life. There was less water, there was less money, there was more money, there was this, there was that. But, you know, nothing of that was visible. So I was so conscious of the fact that the landscape does not reveal itself. You have to force that revelation through the editing structure in many ways.
That's so the best way I can put it. That's wonderful. I think now, Babette, could you introduce the next film? And then we'll come back for the general discussion at the end.
The next film is a film which is going back, but very differently, on their way. There Where was the first film I made when I first arrived for 3 months in California, thinking I will never come back. But I say, if I want to do a film on landscape, I should be, I could rent equipment, not from New York, where I was living, but rent from LA, which would be cheaper. But my lab was in New York, so in any case, I was producing from New York. But I felt that having a base, so I went back to teach because they wanted me to teach. And what I had discovered, which is a new way of comprehending, establishing out of scratch a condominium city, which is going to have 60,000 people in 2 years, you know, existed in California. And, you know, Mira Mesa now, it's exactly the same, but it's totally, it's not ruined down, but most of the people who bought the house 40 years ago, the house is destroyed and is going to be replaced because that's very cheap construction, what you saw in their way. But what you saw in their way is also the area which was still undeveloped. And when I moved to become a full professor at UCSD, I say, I have to live here. I have to make a film to understand how you can live here, because I was really worried I could not take it, you know. But I had so much debts, I had to get the job. So I say, okay, so I'm going to do a film. Actually, it's also the recommendation of a close friend of mine, Jean-Pierre Gorin, who told me, make a film in your own backyard. I thought it was such a great thing. And I must say here, I owe to Jean-Pierre, then he got me a recommendation to ZDF so I could do Scant Location. And I met Jean-Pierre when I was the first time in California, because he was teaching there. He's a filmmaker, you maybe know him. And I shot some film for him. But when he told me, make a film in your own backyard, that's exactly what he had done himself. So I said, maybe it's not a bad idea. So that film is Visible City. And I shot every weekend in places where during the week I probably will not have had access. But, you know, because it's private property and you can shoot on private property if the owner does not want you to shoot. But if nobody is there to ask you anything, you can shoot, you know. So I decide then again, I will do like Scant Location, no permit for anything. You know, I pay my way, nobody knows I have a camera. You see what I mean? I was organized to for Scant Location to be able to function out of recharging my film batteries in a place where I was getting gas and so on. I was always independent, if you want, of any kind of structure which could help me. And it's much easier because you save a lot of money and you save a lot of freedom. You can change your mind immediately. You are not tied to a pre-schedule. So I did the same thing for Visible City. And I knew because it was a matter of the observation of the condominium market, I needed to shoot over several periods. And I shot pretty much... you know, all through the year, and saw transformation because of it. And I observed what was there. But in a territory, you know, remember that when you see the film, which is 31 minutes, a territory which is about 2 miles in radius, with some foray 3 or 4 miles. So it's very close to each other. And you don't really know it, but that idea of circling around is, I think, perceived because you see the same type of row of tree from different angle and so on. So it's just the opposite of Scant Location, which is, you know, a little nugget of one place to another in opposition to each other. There it's totally centered and circular, even like a spiral. And the sound is very, very different. So we'll discuss that afterwards.
Great. Thank you very much.